Jax was telling me that he was praying the words after I prayed them. So don't ever underestimate what you do. Others are watching, and you can be an effective witness for others. I'm going to be in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. A little loud. Entitled this Project Andrew. You know, last week we talked about Jesus says he is the light of the world, and that we that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that we should be the light as well. Well, to some people, that scares you, that intimidates you, that you're called to be a witness, you're called to be an evangelist, you're called to go out and share with others. So I thought today, been praying about it, that we apply the ways that we all can be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you all here today love to talk to people? You're an extrovert. You just love talk to other people. Anybody? Okay, five or six of you. So the rest of you, we're going to call you introverts. That you're like the old country singer Don Williams. Anybody remember Don Williams? Country singer. He said, you know, I'd just soon sit on the back porch and play my guitar and sing, but said I can't make no money that way. Introverts hesitate to talk to other people. Now, one-on-one conversations is fine, but getting in front of people unnerves you. And I'm here to tell you, I'm an introvert. I get nervous every time I stand up and share about the Lord Jesus. But I can't quit bragging about my Jesus, for what he's done for me and what he's going to do for me. And I'm one day closer. I'm one day closer to seeing him face to face. But until then, I want to tell you about him. It's scary for me, but that's why that it keeps me in my place. Because if it's scary for me, then I have to depend on somebody else to speak through me. And I pray that today he will speak through me to who all has an ear to hear what he has to say today. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood and the two of his disciples, and looking up Jesus as he walked, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. Now, these two guys have been walking with John the Baptist, okay? Now, this John the Baptist goes, look, there is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist, he just pointed. He pointed these two guys to Jesus. Seems easy enough, right? Verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. John the Baptist pointed, and they heard him speak, and they followed. 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? It's an important question, folks. Is that what you are this morning? Are you asking that question? Are you seeking? What seeks you? Then Jesus said, they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Then Jesus said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. Where it was about the 10th hour, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Okay. Verse 41. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpretation, a stone. This was Peter. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we have gathered in your name, we're speaking your words, and Holy Spirit, you're here in power and in might. Pour out this time that we've gathered together. And may our ears be willing and receptive to hear and obey with our hearts and souls what you want us to do with what we hear today. Not just a ritual of gathering together, but of praise and worshiping you, that our lives are changed by an encounter with you this very day. We leave that to you and give you the praise and honor for all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Some people, as you look around and you're walking through this life, some people are visibly walking in darkness. They're walking in darkness. You may see them going through the daily motions of everyday life, but yet they're walking in darkness because they have no purpose in life. They don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. And then you see those other people that you don't even know if they know what earth they're on. I mean, they are intoxicated. They're just walking through life. And what a sad state it is, regardless of whether you're trying to hide it or whether you're just going through the motions or whether you're sedating yourself, to go through life and not know the purpose of your life and know the eternal home that you're going to spend. What a sad estate it is. There is a white harvest before us, folks. People today have sometimes said, yeah, I know Jesus, I believe in Jesus, but they have never made him Lord of their life. Which means he's in control and we're not. They're searching. Some of them pretend to be fine. You know, you play that ping pong in church all the time. How you day? Fine. Well, how you day? Fine. Well, everybody's fine. Even if you go to the hospital or the doctor's office, everybody's fine. Because they ask you, how you doing today? Fine. What are you doing here? Why do we keep lying? We're not fine. We need a Savior. They're searching, they're pretending. Most people are in a shipwreck or fixing to head into a shipwreck. Searching, walking around in this darkness, looking for something that's going to fix them to fulfill life. Following the world is a big lie, because the world is telling you a big lie. This world tells you, starts selling you and telling you these big lies. Many people today are falling for it. They say, look this way. You got to have this look. And if it's have to have hair, I'm sorry. You got to look this way. No, it's a big lie. You got to act like this. Get this product. Buy this house. Get this new car. Be this type of relationship. You've got to be all open in love and do all these things that the world says to do. Take this self-help book. If you go to any bookstore, you'll see a wide variety of self-help books. Okay? Make this much money and you'll know what purpose in life is. Follow the advice is a big lie. And if you follow the advice of life's entertainers and sports figures and try to follow that, it's not the plan. Jesus even told us, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. All this world throws at us, the get-rich-quick schemes, the lottery, the gambling, falling for scams to live bigger and better, all this positive mentality of, you send money to this ministry and we'll send you this little piece of cloth and you will be prosperous and healthy and happy for the rest of your life. Okay? It's not working. People are still in misery. Take this drug and you'll feel like Superman. Engage in this and you'll be skinny and healthy and feel young again. Okay. The list goes on. But it makes people unfulfilled, disconnected, depressed, and confused about what life's purpose really is. That's the culture we're living in. We could go on and on about this. But I want to tell you that today, the fields are white unto the harvest. Who will go? I'm seeing the study and I'm watching high school students and college students and young adults is fed up with the lies that this world has been feeding them. And they're looking and searching for truth. They're looking and trying to find purpose in life. They're looking and searching for something that's fulfilling. They want to know, why am I here on earth? What is my purpose on earth? And those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, and those of us that read God's Word, we have it, so why should we hide it? Hello? Come on, church. The discovery of the lies is widely being exposed today, and people are realizing it. Whenever we say go evangelize, it does cause people to, like, I don't know, I can do. 90% of the people, when you ask them to go engage, they hesitate because they're fearful. Most would not feel very comfortable in doing that. Most would feel guilty if you tried to force them into that. But today we're going to look at three different ways to be the light to a dark, cultural, dark and lost people today. Look at three different ways. If you would, this is called Project Andrew. Andrew made a living by fishing, okay? His brother, he was Simon Peter. They both had been with John the Baptist, had watched him and observed him. And then in verse 36, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb. As they were walking, John the Baptist said, there's who you're looking for. Could it be more easier than that? People are out there and they're talking, they're asking these questions, they're doing crazy things, and you just stop and simply just say, you're looking for Jesus. That's who you're looking for. I mean, introvert, we can do that. We can stop talking sports and weather and just listen to their story and then get that opportunity by the Holy Spirit of God empower us to go, you're looking for Jesus. That's who you're looking for. That really is. So they followed Jesus. They were searching and seeking life's purpose, and they found the Messiah. Verse 39. And he saith unto them, come and see. Come and see. Most people don't hesitate to share about their own story. What's going on in your life? You got 15 minutes, they'll tell you. Maybe longer. What's going on in your life? How's things going for you? That's simple enough. That's how we can do it. That's how we can do this. And come and see what's going on in your life. It gives you an opportunity to listen to them. You know those people that you, when you get engaged in a conversation, you have no chance of intervening in talking because they're doing all the talking. Y'all ever experienced somebody like that? It's okay. Listen to them respectfully and then just ask, can I share something with you? Can I share something with you? It's what easy enough to do. And then go, hey, why don't you come and see what's going on at Rum Creek Baptist Church on Sunday morning? We'd love to have you. Just come and see. Just come and see. Invite them to church. Just come and see. You can sit with me. Tell you what, if you're going to come and see, I'll be out at the front entrance because you might not know which door to come in. You might not know where to sit. We don't have reserved seating. Okay? It's not like you're sitting in my... No, we don't have... I'll meet you at the front door. They might not know how to dress. They might not know how we're going to do service. Explain to them. Just say, come to church. I'll meet you out front. I'll sit with you. And maybe after we'll go eat. Just come and see. Project Andrew, just come and see. Verses 41 through 42. He first finds his own brother Simon. He wanted to find family members. He loved his brother. And he goes to his brother. What does he say? We have found the Messiah. Brother, I've seen. I know this is who we've been looking for. Come and see. He wanted his family. He wanted his brother that he loved. Come and we found the one we've been looking for. This is him. He didn't go, hey, Simon, let me explain to you the Roman road. Simon, let me explain to you the four spiritual laws. Or do the faith, just come and see. We found him. We found him. And I want you to find him as well. Isn't that a powerful statement? I found my Savior. I found the Lord. I know where my hope lies, and it's in Jesus Christ. He forgave me of my sins. He washed them as white as snow, as far as the east is from the west. I have a new life. I've got a fresh start with him, and I'm on my journey with him. Yet I'm not perfect, but I'm still walking with him, talking with him and listening to him and seeing what he wants me to do each and every day, that he is my Lord. And I want you to discover what he wants to do in your life as well. Praise be to God. We can invite him to come to church. Come and see. I want you to see as well. I want you to see as well. Just invite them. Just invite people. Number one, invite them. Number two, engage in building relationships. Engage in building relationships. Not hit and run. Okay? Hey, got a second? I got to tell you about this Roman road. And you hit them and you run. No. Build relationships. Let's go to California. I know you don't want to stay there, but that may be a hit and run. But this pastor, I throw the name out there, but you may or may not agree with everything he had to say and do when he was a pastor. But Robert Shuler had made friends with this actor out in California. And his little daughter had made friends with him as well. And they bonded. They had fun together. They did things together. And they built a relationship. And Robert Shuler's daughter was in a horrific accident. And they had to amputate her leg. And when the actor friend heard about what went on, he wrote a letter. He wrote a letter and sent it to her at the hospital. And they read the letter to her. And he was telling her that how he hoped that she got better, hoped that she would recover soon, and if there's anything he could do for her, let him know, yada, yada, yada. And so she wrote a letter back. And she says, I'm going to improve, because I have the Lord Jesus in my life and he's leading me through it. And I would like for you to know my Jesus as well. Get it? In her letter, short little letter, little girl in the hospital, had her leg amputated, took the opportunity to write this short letter to this man that was an actor, a famous person, and he delivered the letter to this actor, and they were in a dining room, and a lot of people were laughing and giggling and just sharing life together and having a good time, when this actor opened up the letter and he began to read it. And everybody's laughing. They wasn't paying much attention, but they looked over at him, and tears coming down his face. Read that letter, and Duke said, "You go back and tell that little girl, this day, at this place, John Wayne prayed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You go back and tell that little girl that." Now, can a girl make a difference in John Wayne? Just a simple letter. "I want you to know my Jesus as well." Build relationships. Build relationships. Extroverts, they love to talk to people. It's easy for them to be the light. But even though extroverts love to talk to people, probably only 10% of them have the gift of evangelism. They have to build relationships and get to know the person. Introverts and extroverts can exchange and engage in serving someone. And as you serve someone, you're building relationship. You can talk to them and invite them in. You build that relationship, and what they see in you, okay, makes a difference. Makes a difference. What they watch and what they hear makes a difference. So as you engage in them, Jesus taught his disciples to help others find him. That's what we should do as well. Andrew brought his family friends to Jesus. Andrew left his family business to follow Jesus. You may not leave where you are. You may have the field of white harvest right around you where you go. The question is, will you go all in and look for opportunities? Before you go, you got to pray. Once you pray, you engage and invite others to come and see. Tell them your story. That's number three. Your story can change somebody else's story. Your story, Christian, can change somebody else's story. They can't refute and say, "No, that's not true." That's your story. Share your story. That's number three. They may be searching. Tell them that you found the way, the truth, and the life. And it's through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loves you and offers salvation to you. You can find him too. Life on this earth is very temporary. Many of us have witnessed that. Every day that's a gift of God. Every breath is a gift of God. Life after this world is eternal. You will either spend eternity in hell, tormented, alone, and isolated, or you'll spend it in heaven, in paradise, with the one who's preparing a place for you. You're either lost without Christ, or you're saved with Christ. We want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We want you to be certain that you know you're going to spend eternity in heaven. We want you to know that he is the light that can help you navigate through the world as Lord, in control of your life. I shared Wednesday night about an air traffic controller that was in a break room, and he overheard a man talking, and the man was sharing that his parents had made him come to church every single time the doors were open. He was a dragon child. His parents drug him to church every week, every Sunday. Every time the doors was open, he was drugged to church, and he hated it. He said, "I'll never, ever set foot back in a church. Never." And so this air traffic controller heard that, and he had heard a message about we're to be witnesses and share our stories. And so they were at the same place preparing their lunch. And he said, "I overheard you talking about your parents making you go to church, and just want to invite you." Man looked at him and said, "Don't you ever, ever talk to me about church or God again. Don't ever do that. Kind of startled him. He said, we have to work together. So he went on. He was kind of discouraged, but he met with the men's group that they prayed, and he gave them this man's name, and they prayed for him. Prayed for him and his family. And he kept consistently praying for him. 8 years later, he gets a call. It's this man that said, don't you ever talk to me about God or church again. He said, yeah. He said, could you tell me the address to your church? A seed planted 8 years previous germinated to grow 8 years later. He said, what's the name of your church? He told him. He said, my wife and I will be there this coming Sunday. Great. I'll meet you at the front door and I'll introduce you where we sit. He went on to tell him, my wife had never been to church before, has no idea what the Bible has to say, nothing. She's a believer. She don't know anything about God, church, Bible, anything. Fast forward his story. They're coming to church. This couple's going out to eat with them occasionally, building relationships. They're building relationships. One Sunday morning, the wife of this man comes forward to accept Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior and Lord. Her husband's with her to rededicate his life to the Lord. 2 years later, after they had built this relationship, husband and wife, both saved now, he gets another call. Air traffic controller gets his call, and he says, hey, I just wanted to call and mention to you what we're doing, and thank you for praying for me and being in my life. We're in Virginia, up in Richmond right now, and we're in training. We're in training because we're going to go to Cambodia as missionaries. Hello. Leave it to God to do the impossible. But we get the opportunity to invite, to build relationships, and to share our story so that it can change somebody else's story. Are you saved or are you lost? 1 John, if you would. 1 John chapter 5. Lost, without Christ, or saved through Christ. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have life? Look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Wow. So now we give an altar call. Are you saved or are you lost? Do you have needs? Do you have somebody that you need to pray for? Do you have things that troubles your heart that you need to pray for? Altar is going to be open. I'll be here. Pray with you. Share with you how that you can know that you have eternal life. Father in heaven, as we extend this invitation, Lord, you're in charge. It's your church. You've gathered us here right now by no accident. We're here. You ordained this time for us. Lord, somebody here does not have life. They don't have the eternal security that they're saved. And today, Lord, you have sent the Holy Spirit to draw them to salvation. Some here today, Lord, their hearts are troubled. Maybe matters that is in their own personal life. It may be, Lord, that they have had excuses for not sharing their story with others. But today, Lord, you've pierced their heart. And they want your power. They want your forgiveness. Some today, Lord, their hearts are troubled over family. They've hesitated to invite them to church. They have invited sometimes, and they've had difficult rebuttals. Lord, there's a vast array of things going on. We know that the fields are white unto the harvest. We're called to go. Introverts and extroverts, we've discovered today that we can invite to come and see. We've discovered, God, that we can engage in building relationships. We've discovered that we can just share a story that how you have blessed our lives. So, Father, I pray that today you just pour it out as we engage and commit to follow you. Bless this time of invitation, God, and may this altar be one that's open for anyone to come and pray and come and see and come and talk to you. It's all for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please?